Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on the 16th day of September, 2019. We are supposed to be having as our guest today Harold Senkbeil, Executive Director of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. But before that, I am going to give you all some wonderful news. Those of you who have been praying for my friend Joe Jackowitz daily are going to love hearing this. In fact, everybody's going to love hearing this if you listen to this program. My friend Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder of First Love Radio. First Love Radio is the network that live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. And Joe Jackowitz is also not only the founder of First Love Radio and First Love Missions and First Love Publications, but he is also the pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Well, many of you who listen to this show every day will remember that very recently Joe was given the very grim prognosis of having an aggressive and very deadly form of leukemia that was offering at best a hope of 4 to 6 it was a prognosis of 40 to 60% chance of survival. That's what it was. And that is a very frightening prognosis. But obviously, as always, God knows better than even the most brilliant of physicians and those in the careers of medicine. Joe, on Saturday, got this report, and I'm going to read directly from an email that he has sent on Saturday, September 14th. Beloved family and friends, greetings in the name of him who said, with God all things are possible, from Mark chapter 10, verse 27. 3 hours ago, a team of doctors came into my room. The lead doctor said that during the last 2 days, my white cells, red cells, and platelets had improved so rapidly, and they would release me from the hospital tomorrow or Monday. This means that the good cells are growing back faster than they expected, and therefore, my immune system is strong enough to resume my normal lifestyle. Actually, the lead doctor said, I never saw this quick a recovery before. Needless to say, we praise God for this great news. As far as remaining cancer, the first chemo treatment destroyed over 90% of it. I will have a final bone marrow biopsy on September 28th to determine if a final chemo treatment is needed. If it is, it will be a modified amount. It has been an incredible 2 days of rapid healing. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. From Lamentations chapter 3, 22, verses 22 through 24. Thank you for your love and for your prayers. The Lord is answering them. And this was an email Joe sent out on Saturday, and Joe is already home. He's already home recovering. This is after receiving the frightening news that he had a 40 to 60% chance of survival. So we will keep you updated on Joe's progress. We all thank you so much, those of you listening, who not only prayed for Joe's healing, but also for those who have reached out to him with the love of, and compassion of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, and we will, as I said, keep you updated. And now let me introduce you to our guest today. He is a returning guest, Harold L. Sankbeil, Executive Director of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and he's an author with nearly 5 decades of pastoral experience. We are going to be addressing part two of a discussion that we began weeks ago on his latest book, The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Harold Sankbeil.
Oh, what a joy to be with you again, Chris.
Amen. And by the way, it's been a couple of weeks since I've interviewed you. Am I still pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, that's marvelous. Your memory is great. It's a pretty difficult name, yes.
Well, brother, if you could, for those of our listeners who missed your first interview on this same subject, why don't you tell our listeners about Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel?
I'd be happy to, yes. Yeah. So we're in our 11th year of operation. Doxology is a continuing education program for pastors of all denominations, although we come from a Lutheran perspective. And our goal is to provide advanced skills for taking care of people spiritually. And we do that, and we have kind of a two-sided coin on the Christian counseling side and also the spiritual care side, which obviously is my bailiwick. And so we've been privileged to serve well over 700 pastors so far. And we always involve the lay leaders of their congregation so that they can also see the key role that they play in assisting fellow Christians to grow in faith and in service to our Lord, and also to have a closer working relationship with their pastor in the local situation. Then we also have a component that involves the pastor's wife. So it's a quite a comprehensive program, and we've received many blessings through it. It's been very, very well received over the years.
Amen. Well, if anybody...
I might also add, don't forget our website at doxology.us. That's the domain name.
Doxology.us. I was just about to do that, and thank you for doing that. Doxology.us. And, this book that you have written seems to have gotten a lot of praise, and there's a lot of excitement swirling around about it amongst pastors and those in parachurch ministries, and of course your publishers are very proud of this work that they have brought into print by you, and they're very thrilled that we are doing a second interview on it. The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart. If you could, especially for the benefit of those who missed your first interview on this a couple of weeks ago, could you give us a summary of this book's purpose? And then after that, we will not only take listener questions, but we will go on to pursue other areas of the book that we had not had an opportunity to cover last time.
Excellent. Yes, I'd be happy to. So this book is really an attempt to try to encapsulate or get my arms around and pass on to others the whole heritage of what's called the Care of Souls. That's a rather broad topic, and it's one which belongs, of course, first of all, biblically to the heritage we have as biblical Christians, looking at the ways by which our Lord provides us through His Word of addressing the spiritual needs of people, not merely in terms of the content of the Holy Scriptures, but also in terms of their impact, the actual changes that are worked by the Holy Spirit by means of God's Word. At the same time, it's both personal and also a scriptural survey and a summary, as best I'm able, of the collective wisdom down through the ages of generations past. So it has a view toward the past history, but also very keenly interested in the complexity of what it means to be Christians in our own convoluted times and specifically the challenges that this places upon pastors. My goal is to narrowly to assist pastors, as it says the subtitle, cultivating a pastor's heart, the inner attitude, the outlook, the disposition, if you will. And the Latin term for that is the habitus, that it really informs pastoral work, so that in making the determinations in each circumstance, we're guided certainly by the direction of the Holy Spirit through the Word, but also learning from the experience of generations past of pastors, and then engaging in conversation with colleagues in the present. So it's a collaborative work, the care of souls, and none of us is really capable, as I say in the book, of really even tying the shoes of our Lord Jesus, who is the true shepherd of souls. And so, like John the Baptist, we always point to him, the one who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the whole world.
Great. Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address if they would like to join us on the air with a question of their own. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We already have an email. I usually only give a person's first name and their city and state, but since this is a pastor, especially since this is a pastor in your denomination, I'll give you his full name. His name is Reverend Luke T. Zimmerman, and he is the pastor at Calvary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And this is a congregation, as I said, in the Missouri Synod. Reverend Zimmerman asks, how have you or other pastors had to adjust teaching or pastoral practice as society has moved from being supportive or even neutral to the Lord's law, natural law, to outright opposition to it?
Excellent question, and personal greetings to you, Luke. Well, great to hear from you in this way.
Do you know Pastor Luke?
Oh, yes. We go back, way back to his days in seminary.
Oh, wow.
I had the privilege of seeing him sitting in my classroom.
He was, a couple of years ago, a co-host for one interview. I think we interviewed Chris Roseborough Pirate Christian Radio, but he was sitting in the studio with me as co-host that day.
Wonderful man. Yeah, so, okay, that's a very perceptive question, and I think one that applies really across denominations. How have I had to adjust my approach to ministry? Well, as you implied in the question, there was a time, and it's within living memory for us old timers, when the culture did part of the heavy lifting in terms of, as you pointed out, the natural law. There were boundaries. To be sure, people kicked over the traces. There were sinners in every generation. And sometimes the standards, the ethical standards that were accepted in morality in the culture were not necessarily always observed. So there were problems in past generations, but now the situation is far different. I liken it really to attempting to navigate a course across very stormy seas without having the North Star to guide us. So there's no longer any fixed determination of what is right and wrong, to be sure, but even what is basically true. I mean, for instance, now we have the idea that each person has their own identity apart from their own body. So biology and anatomy do no longer determine gender. And, you know, we've had, obviously, sexual aberrations dating all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But we've never had a situation where it was fruit basket totally upset in terms of fundamental human realities. How have I had to adjust? I think this means a couple of things. For me, there's two aspects. It's really a two-pronged answer. One is, I think there has to be a clarity regarding the revealed law of God, certainly in terms of the Ten Commandments and all of the moral commands and demands of our gracious God, because they're for our good. And to be able to teach that, because as the question implies, the culture no longer goes even part of the way. So it's a blank slate. But we do this, I might add quickly, not because we want to impose restrictions on people, but because we want to help them to grasp their fundamental identity as created beings, made in the image and likeness of God, both male and female. And while this focuses in our time, particularly on the sexual questions, it's not narrowly about that. It's about being human, what it means to be a beloved child of God, made in his image, redeemed by the blood of Christ, sanctified by the Holy Spirit for service to his honor and glory and to the benefit of our neighbors. So that's one aspect, the basic teaching of the law. But beyond that, I think there's also another aspect, and that is we live in a time in which people have no longer a collective identity or purpose, and that's because they've lost touch with the fundamental truths of what it means to live in the created world. And here your listeners, Chris, might even Google this. There is a rather insightful essay, in my opinion, published way back in 1993 by Robert Jensen called How the World Lost Its Story. And that was, as you may remember, kind of at the cutting edge of what's now called postmodernism. So turning a corner from the world in which there was such a thing as truth now to where everybody makes up their own truth. And his contention is that's because we no longer live in an inhabitable world, a narratable world, a world that finds its origin in God, the maker of heaven and earth. No longer knows the biblical story, certainly, of how God created the world in the first place, and how he entered this world in the person of his Son to ransom and redeem it, and how he actively works by means of his word in the midst of this world still today to create order out of chaos. So people live in a chaotic environment, and it's absolutely inhuman. So therefore, we have the joyous privilege, all of us Christians, be we pastors or laity, to be mirrors and avenues of his grace and mercy into this kind of a world. And because we live as people who know their origin, who know their purpose, who know that their value does not reside in their own determination, but in God's grace and mercy. And so they have a purpose and a direction. The world we live in makes up their life as they go along, and that's a rather dangerous world to live in, certainly. We see that every day. And also a rather oppressive world, and the mounting incidence of depression and anxiety everywhere, I think, give plenty of evidence for that.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Pastor.
It's a long answer, but...
Yeah, well, I think that most of the time I do want long answers on this program, because if I have somebody who has written on a certain subject, they likely know a lot more than I do on that subject, and I like thorough answers. As you may have noticed, I'm not the kind of talk show host that likes to butt into my guests' answers, which barely gives them an opportunity to speak, and I actually despise that kind of interview style. So feel free to be as lengthy as you see fit.
I will.
But I want to thank Pastor Luke Zimmerman from Calvary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And also I want to give a shout out to a member of that church who's actually just recently become acquainted with me and I him, Logan Embry. Actually, Logan is is trying to work with me on setting up a friendly, brotherly debate between a Lutheran and a Calvinist on baptismal regeneration, and I will keep you all abreast as to how that develops. And by the way, the website, let me give a plug to this congregation, the website for Calvary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. If you live near that area, want to visit there, or if you're have family, friends, and loved ones near there, or want to go on vacation somewhere in the Mechanicsburg area, and you're looking for a church, it's CalvaryLutheranMechanicsburg.org, CalvaryLutheranMechanicsburg.org, and that's spelled M-E-C-H-A-N-I-C-S-B-U-R-G. One thing that I wanted to mention about this question is that there is an effort, as you know, by many churches, even some that would be from historically, even up until recently, more conservative backgrounds, more conservative denominations, associations, fellowships, brotherhoods, whatever or however you want to describe their affiliations, that have become more and more accommodating to things that God has declared are abhorrent and an abomination and unnatural. And people have a growing idea that's probably always existed in the church, but it seems to be at its height in history now, where hurting someone's feelings or making them feel uncomfortable because of their behavior or beliefs is the worst sin or crime or injustice a Christian can commit. And they change and alter their teachings, their worship, the content of their sermons, their creedal statements, to make people feel more and more comfortable in things that God has declared will send unrepentant men and women and children to hell. And I have continued to repeat to my friends, many of them who are professing Christians in denominations or associations other than the one I am in. I'm a Reformed Baptist, and we're fairly known for still being very conservative and strict adherence to the inerrant teachings of Scripture. But I have said to them when they think that a kinder and gentler approach should be had when it comes to, let's say, the LGBTQ, quote-unquote, community, the homosexuals, the so-called transgendered individuals. Now, on the one hand, we are never to be hateful, like those horrible people at the Westboro Baptist Church, who I do not even believe are Christians or brothers in Christ. They delight in the death of the wicked. They have no interest in seeing people come to repentance and being saved by the grace and mercy of Christ. They love and enjoy the fact that unrepentant sinners are going to hell. They seem to take great glee and excitement and joy in telling people that. But we don't want to be imitators of that, because that is coming from, I believe, an unregenerate heart. But at the same time, we are not doing any favors to anyone, whether they be a Christian or not a Christian, when we are making them more comfortable in their state of unrepentance, are we?
Absolutely not. You know, that's unfortunately a very prevalent trend, particularly obviously in mainline denominations. But I think probably most, even biblical Christians, have a sense of, you know, okay, we don't want to be offensive, and too often, you know, we buy the line we're fed by the media and others that to hold to the biblical categories regarding male and female and chastity and faithfulness within marriage is antiquated. You're kind of on the wrong side of history, and if you're too vocal in advocating that kind of life, then you're bigoted and you're hateful. And that's a sinister influence, and I've seen it too often that it even makes people who really have the right convictions rather hesitant about even teaching their own their family and speaking what's on their mind. And so I think that's one of the challenges we have today as as biblical Christians, is to get free people to speak positively the truth. You know, the scriptures say that, speaking the truth in love. We grow up in every way into Him who is the head. So in denomination after denomination, unfortunately we had that happen just this very summer. Our cousins in the other branch of Lutheranism, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, just simply abandoned the structures that have been held by generations past in their own communion. And because, ostensibly, because they want to be kind and reaching out and supportive. And, of course, unfortunately, it's the exact opposite. You enable people to continue in their error, as you said. They end up, ultimately, losing their faith and end up in God's punishment in hell. That's not a kind thing to do.
Yes.
Now, I might add, Chris, if I could, there's a resource I came across not too long ago that I would recommend to your readers, especially the pastors. It's a book by a gentleman by the name of Kyle Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R, and it's titled From Shame to Sin. And so his point there is that he traces the history of how the ancient church, before we had a so-called Christian culture, addressed some of the very same trends that we see around us today that really are evidence of overt paganism. And in order to attract people, if you will, to the Christian faith, they didn't cave in any of these things. In fact, instead, they became, if anything, even stronger and insistent on teaching sexual morality and faithfulness. Why? Because it's an expression of who they were as creatures of God and as redeemed children of God, and living faithfully within marriage and living abstinently apart from marriage. That was part and parcel of their whole confession of the faith once delivered to the saints. And it's really a very fascinating study. I really think myself that there are many parallels between our current situation. You want to call it postmodern, post-Christian, whatever it is. It's really an expression of a resurgence of a pagan worldview that, you know, God is whoever you determine He is, and you got to follow your own inclinations. The ancients and the Bible calls this the passions, to lead us further away from God. And so the early Christians, instead of coddling or enabling that mindset, helped people. And you read the New Testament, you see instance after instance how people turned in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus and found a newness of life and a purpose and a direction. And it's reading the book of Acts, you know, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is, faithfulness to the scriptures is so very important, but I think in this area especially, it is a challenge, but it's for the sake of the growth and the mission of the church that we need to remain faithful.
Yes, and we also need to honor, obey, and love God and fear God more than our friends, family, loved ones, fellow citizens of this nation, or just members of any community around the globe. We cannot be more fearful of how they are going to react to the truth than we are to how God is going to treat us according to our disobedience. So I'm assuming that if you want to be very succinct about the answer to Pastor Zimmerman's questions, is that you Do you adjust at all? I mean, to the changing winds of the culture?
I think I wouldn't use the verb adjust. That implies that I'm going to change what I'm saying in order to suit the having itching ears. You know, they accumulate teachers according to their own preferences. We don't do that. But we got to know where they scratch, where they're itching, so that it can be scratched. You know, so I need to be aware of what is it that, what's the impetus to this? What's underneath it? And that really actually leads me kind of into my book, because that's the premise. To help to really be a spiritual physician, you have to be alert to what are the symptoms, you know, and even more, what's underneath those symptoms? What's the diagnosis? What's the core problem? So that I can then use the one scriptural word, the unchanging truth of God, to address this shifting circumstance. And that means I need to have all the savvy that the Lord can provide.
Yes, and perhaps be up to date.
We don't adjust the message, but we do tailor the message. Maybe that's
right. Yeah, and perhaps one of those things would be to be more up to date on the apologetic involved, if you're speaking specifically about homosexuality, to know how to respond to those who would be deemed as the brilliant elite amongst scholars, theologians, and others in the halls of academia who defend homosexuality as even a biblical privilege or a biblical liberty. We have to, in our day and age, be more capable of biblically and theologically responding to that false argument. And, of course, it is no longer merely the fact that there are many involved in unrepentant depravity, such as homosexuality or any of those behaviors that come under the LGBTQ umbrella. It's no longer, please stop hurting our feelings. You're wounding us deeply by not allowing us to participate in every realm of activity in the church that you enjoy. Please stop doing that. You're hurting us. Please welcome us. It's no longer that. It's, how dare you? You are an abomination. You are a sinner and a wicked individual for even daring to criticize homosexuality, and you are the one who is unlike Christ. You are the one who is rebellious against his way of living and teaching. And
well, of course, that's the sinister aspect of it, and that's where you see the devil's hoofprints over all of that, because he is a liar and the father of lies, and he twists godly things to become in service of his goals, which is to condemn people, to accuse them. And so that's always the challenge, I think, you know. So, and the point that you made, that we speak this compassionately. We take no delight in the death of sinners.
Right.
Just as God does not. So, therefore, the goal is always to seek and to save the lost. And,
right. It is not, it is, the message is not, be like me because I'm better than you. It is, please embrace the only remedy that could save my wretched soul. I have been rescued from my sin and from the pit of hell. I want you to be rescued too. That is more of the attitude that we should have, is it not?
Absolutely. And more than that, you know, we have Jesus Christ is a light that no darkness can overcome, and we're living in an increasingly darkened world. I mean, even the most diligent, uncrass, unbeliever, and profligate, if you will, is forced to admit that, you know, the statistics show this, the rise of suicide, the aberrations everywhere that happen. You know, we live in a world, as I said earlier, that's becoming increasingly inhuman. And it's not a healthy place to live in. We have a life that we proclaim that is not of this world, and yet it brings hope and joy into this world. You know, Chris, I also am reminded, when I did some of this research looking at the ancient church, now to be sure, they weren't getting, you know, they didn't have liberal Christians, they didn't have Christians. But the challenge to be faithful to the scriptures is always there in every generation.
And by the way, could you pick up
the accusation that you Christians are really enemies of the human race? There's even a Latin phrase for that, that you're inimical, to what it really means to be truly human, because you don't let me do what I feel like doing. And so that was the accusation leveled against Christians, specifically, of course, regarding marriage and sexuality, but also, as you read in 1 Corinthians, that includes also greed and envy, all those things that were so manifest in the ancient world and still are today. So Christians, if you will, marched to a different drummer, and for that reason, they were persecuted. Many of the great persecutions of the ancient church happened specifically because the accusation was leveled that you are undermining what it means to be a genuinely free human being. And so you're despicable for that reason.
In fact, could we pick up right where you left off? Could you pick up right where you left off when we returned from our first break?
Okay.
And if anybody would like to join us, if anybody else, I should say, would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. CHRISARNZEN@gmail.com. And by the way, I forgot to mention to Pastor Luke Zimmerman, please give me your full mailing address because you have won a free copy of the book that we are addressing today, The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart by Pastor or Reverend Harold L. Sinkbile. And get that to us as soon as you can, and we'll have CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, ship that free copy out to you, which has been given to us, compliments of Lexham Press, and we thank the dear folks at Lexham Press for their generosity. So if you'd like to join us as well with your own question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Harold Sinkbile after these messages. I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnzen at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is Harold L. Sinkbile, Executive Director of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. We are discussing part two of a discussion that we began a couple of weeks ago on his new book, The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart,
And our email address, if you have questions, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. And before the break, you were talking about the persecutions in the apostolic era and in the new, or the first century of the church, very harsh and brutal persecutions of Christians who were standing firm to the truth regardless of the outcome, and if you could pick up where you left off.
Right. I think there's kind of a popular attitude that those persecutions were because people were offended at the proclamation of Jesus as God. Now, that's true, of course, but where the practical application of that came is in the daily life. So in a world in which people were free to live unbridled lives of sexual passion any way they wanted to, and the ancient world, particularly under the Greek influence that then came into the Roman civilization as well, same-sex behavior was admired and fostered and encouraged even among the upper-class people who, the men who had wives, for example, in order to procreate heirs in terms of their inheritance. They also had sexual liaisons with their male slaves and young men. Now, this is very common in that kind of a time. So one of the chief reasons of the persecutions was the Christians didn't allow that. They said, this is an anathema forbidden for Christians. God has forbidden this. And so, therefore, we live a different life, a life of holiness. And if you look in 1 Corinthians 6, you see that many of those early Christians that came into the congregation at Corinth had participated in that kind of lifestyle. So they had been greedy and ambitious in terms of earthly possessions. So that was part and parcel of their life. Sexually, they were promiscuous. They were also engaging in what we today would call gay and lesbian behavior, although that, I might add, is a recent innovation, the terminology. The Bible simply calls it, what it is, having sex with a member of your own sex. So that happened. And so such were some of you, writes the apostle, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. They didn't enable this to continue. They called people to repentance, which included a new life and a joyful commitment to faithfulness within their state, whether married or single. So that nothing new, really. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. And I often say, want to know how to navigate this chaotic world? Take a fresh look at the New Testament, because those people back in apostolic days were facing the exact same cultural environment that we are today.
Amen. And we have a question from a listener in Longmont, Colorado. His name is Kurt, and he is asking a question about the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. His question is, isn't that what church and ministry is? I guess he's questioning the need for a parachurch organization such as...
Oh, yeah. Well, exactly. That's the whole point. We're not trying to create something separate from the church. This is very much geared to what happens in the local congregation. And he's very perceptive. The church and the ministry together collectively make up the body of Christ. And so our focus is on both. Chiefly we're looking at strengthening the skill set, if you will, of pastors for intelligent ministry in these chaotic times. We also are strengthening laity who have leadership responsibility in their congregations so they can be more of what they actually are. We're not trying to supplement or substitute what's happening in the church. We're simply trying to strengthen what's going on.
Great. Yes, you're not intending to replace the church. You're intending to further equip those who are in leadership in the church.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Kurt. And if you want to give me your full mailing address in Longmont, Colorado, I will have cvbbs.com ship you a free copy of the book we are addressing, The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart by Harold L. Sankbile, our guest today. And since you are a first-time questioner, you'll also receive a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB. So send us your full email, I'm sorry, your full shipping address if you'd like both of those shipped out to you at no charge to you. And of course we thank Lexham Press again for being so generous as to provide us with copies of The Care of Souls for listeners. One of the issues that comes up a lot on this program as far as people sending in questions is the fact that sometimes congregations, and it doesn't even really exclusively involve large or massively large or mega church congregations, although those types of gatherings are going to be more prone to this, but even a tiny church could do this. But I hear a lot from people, perhaps even especially off the air, not necessarily during with questions for guests during a live program, but people who feel ignored, left out, not really being viewed as someone important in the life of the church. And this would be not only in their minds, it could be true, and perhaps it's a figment of their imagination, I don't know, because obviously I don't know a lot of these people who are contacting me, but they feel as if the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and even the fellow congregants really do not notice their existence, do not have compassion for them when they're going through trials and tribulations, or even just be recognized as someone that they would like to have over their home for fellowship and a meal. But if you could respond to that very important aspect of pastoral ministry and even the ministry of every congregation member.
That's so very, very important. And I think you're right. I think this is a growing trend, and is probably a symptom, again, of our times, which people live more and more isolated. It's really kind of a paradox if you think about it. The more technologically savvy and equipped we are for communication purposes, the more isolated we become. Even such a thing as social media that, on the surface, it should connect people, but what happens is the public profile that a person has on Facebook may have little, if any, resemblance to their real life. So people live increasingly isolated lives, and people have noted this within the fellowship of the church and also within society as a whole, that we have a whole growing epidemic of loneliness. I learned, it wasn't that long, a couple months ago, I learned that the United Kingdom, Her Majesty's government, has even a minister of loneliness to address this problem in society. People living in complete isolation. So, obviously, it should not be so within the body of Christ, because if one member rejoices, we all rejoice together. If one member is hurting or sorrowing, we all mourn together. Together. So that's part of what it means to be Christian. And yet it doesn't happen naturally. In my experience, I had 31 years in the parish, and what I've seen now since in my teaching ministry, it does take some deliberate effort to connect people with people so that we're aware of each other, that we make the effort. And I think, as you mentioned, Christian, just simply what some would call socializing is really hospitality, and to open our homes to each other. That's the first step, and then we begin to open our hearts as well. I know, for example, my wife is handicapped, and it's wonderful. She has a number of friends that make some specific efforts to come and to visit her. So that when she's unable any longer to get out like she would like to, she has that connection with a Christian friend. So we need that effort. And I think that should be a big priority, especially in our time. That too, then, as you mentioned, is a phenomenon not just in the big church where you would expect it, but even in the small church. So you want to know how to reach people with the gospel. I often say, you know, maybe the kitchen table is one of the best tools for evangelization. If I invite somebody to sit down and share a meal with me, I can talk about what's important to me. I can consecrate the meal by word and by prayer. I can invite them to talk with me, and then I can give answer for the hope that is within me. And then we see how history repeats itself. And as the early church grew, at different speeds, of course, but by God's grace, it happened through natural interaction as Christians lived their lives of faith and gave an answer concerning the hope that was in them.
Amen. And by the way, I don't know if you're familiar with a fairly recent publication by Rosaria Butterfield. Are you familiar with Rosaria Butterfield?
I certainly have heard that name. I'm not personally aware, but...
Rosaria has been on this program several times. She is a former tenured professor at Syracuse University in New York, and she, prior to her conversion to Christ, she was an openly leftist lesbian, and by God's grace and mercy... which initially she viewed as possibly a hostile or just purely negative interaction with a local pastor, a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, what she initially viewed as just a right-winger attacking her, became a friendship when this pastor and his wife invited Rosaria into their home for meals, and she became a very close and intimate friend of this couple, this Christian couple, pastor and his wife. And then, by the grace and mercy of God, she was saved, repented of her lesbianism and all of the baggage that comes with the leftist, antagonistic, rebellious mindset that hates the things of God. She became a full-fledged, Bible-believing Christian and saved by the mercy and blood of Christ. And then she was introduced to a single pastor by this pastor friend, and she eventually became that pastor's wife.
Wow.
But
story of God's grace in action. Yeah.
Amen. Well, Rosaria wrote a book called "The Gospel Comes with a House Key: Practicing Radically Ordinary Hospitality in Our Post-Christian World." And in fact, I'm going to make sure you get a copy of it.
That'd be great. Thank you.
But I just wanted to let our listeners know that if you would like to get that book, you could go to cvbbs.com. cvbbs.com, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, and you could order that book. Now we are going to our midway break. This is a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they have their own public service announcements and local things to air, which they are required to do by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So while they are doing that, we air our own globally heard commercials. And so I ask of you to use this time wisely, not only write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, but also please write down questions for Harold Senkbeil about what we are discussing today, which is his latest book, the title of which is The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart. So write down those questions and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be back with Harold Senkbeil after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnson's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnson was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on. Yeah. Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And ask them about the two books that they are still giving away with a purchase. That would be True Love by James M. Renahan, and also A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen, my favorite of all biographies of all time. And you can get both of those books for free with purchases, and you can find out more details by asking them when you call them. Before I return to my interview with Harold L. Senkbeil, we just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, I hope that as many of you who are men in ministry leadership as possible will join me this December for a phenomenal conference coming up in New York City. There's no better place, in my opinion, to spend the Christmas season than in Manhattan. And this this December, on Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, the Foundations Conference is going to be held in Manhattan. And I will be there, God willing. And they have a phenomenal roster of speakers, as they always do, including Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. That's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, at the Foundations Conference in New York City. And remember, this is for men in ministry leadership only, because the venue can only hold less than 200 people. So register as quickly as possible by going to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then in January, from Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, I'm packing up my bags again and heading down south this time to the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, for the annual G3 conference. I just love this event beyond description. The G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, by the way. And this January, their theme is on Worship Matters. And they always have an extraordinary lineup of impressive speakers, very long list of speakers, including my friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Radio, my other friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, my friend Dr. Tom Askell, who is the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention, world-renowned Reformed writer, preacher, and teacher, and pastor Derek Thomas is going to be there. We have Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Costi Hinn, who you've been hearing a lot about on this show. In fact, Costi is going to be my guest coming up again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Costi Hinn is the nephew of the notorious heretic, Benny Hinn. And the reason why Costi would not be upset by saying that is because Costi spends a lot of his time, especially outside of his own pulpit, warning people and exposing the damnable and dangerous and deceptive teachings of the Word of Faith movement, including those of his own uncle, who he has openly and publicly stated he knows for certain is a charlatan, in addition to being a heretic and dangerous man. So Costi Hinn is on the roster at this event as well. He is currently a Reformed Baptist pastor and a cessationist. Now in Arizona, you've been hearing James White say he's pastoring in California. Well, his church just sent him to fill in a needed position at a church in Arizona. So he is there now. And we have on the roster at this event Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, which is the media ministry of John MacArthur. And John MacArthur himself will be at this event, and many other people on the lineup. If you want to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And I urge you not only to register to attend, but if you have a business or parachurch organization and you want to promote it to the body of Christ, this is an ideal place to register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning for Iron Trip and Zion Radio for my fourth year in a row. And I have always been blessed in innumerable ways beyond my ability to describe thoroughly and adequately by having an exhibitor's booth there with such a large crowd. And so if you want to get an exhibitor's booth before they run out of room, they're going to run out of exhibitor's booth room long before they run out of room for people who just want to attend. So I would strongly urge you, if that is your plan to register for an exhibitor's booth, do it quickly. But also, if you just want to attend, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and I look forward to seeing you there. Last but not least, if you love this show and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, you love listening to the guests and topics that sometimes are never heard anywhere else, you love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones, please help us to remain on the air. We are in really urgent need of your donations. In fact, we now have a negative balance of $150 in our checking account. We are on the verge of going off the air because our live streaming bill needs to be paid. The rent of this facility where the studio is needs to be paid. We have had one of the worst months since we began as far as donations. We were getting a steady stream of donations coming in for the longest time. They've nearly dried up completely, except for a tiny handful of very faithful and precious listeners who donate on a regular basis, and we thank you from the depths of our heart for your generosity. But many of you have just stopped giving. We need your donations. Please, if you want us to stay on the air, go to IronTrepandZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Or if you want to mail in a check, there is a mailing address that will appear on the screen when you click support at IronTrepandZionRadio.com. And you could send in a check via snail mail made out to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Never siphon money away from your regular giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Those are two commands of God. You have to provide for your church. You have to provide for your family. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands and you want us to stick around, it really matters to you that we remain on the air. Please help us if you have that extra money. Please help us soon. Please donate as generously as you can and as frequently as you can. Go to IronTrepandZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's at least compatible with what we believe. Then please send me that email, because we really are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you are not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. You can't live as a maverick lone wolf Christian. Such a person does not exist in the scriptures. You cannot forsake the assembling of the brethren and be obedient to God. So I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. And no matter where you live, I can help you find a church. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Harold Sankbile regarding his new book, the care of souls, cultivating a pastor's heart. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We have a listener in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. Susan Margaret has a question for you, Harold. She asks, do you not believe that the woman who is married to a man that desires to enter into the pastoral ministry must be equally called? Don't you believe that a woman who is not suited to be a pastor's wife could be the downfall of a man otherwise perfectly suited for that ministry, but if she is not his helpmeet in very appropriate and necessary ways, it could ruin an otherwise wonderful ministry? Harold, are you there? We somehow got disconnected from Harold Sankbile. I don't know what happened to Harold. Well, looks like...
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry, I had my phone muted there for a minute. So, yeah, I heard the question, and it's an excellent question. Of course, any question that begins with, do you not believe, kind of implies that there's a conviction behind it. And I would certainly echo the sentiment of the questioner. The woman who is married to a pastor has a unique vocation, a very godly one, by the way, and an important one. And all too often, these valiant women who are helpmates to their husbands, who have been called into the ministry, are kind of lone rangers, and that's unfortunate. They're so very, very important. And I can testify to that. Jane and I have been married for 48 years, and she is an inestimable help to me, personally, obviously, but also as a shepherd. It's always good to have a wife who is sensitive, who is certainly believing a Christian, who values the work that the Lord is doing through the ministry, and therefore, you know, we're doubly blessed to have such a woman at our side as a pastor. Now, the only quibble that I would have is that she's equally called. Now, to me, of course, that may be a matter of terminology, but there's a long history within the church, particularly within my communion in the Lutheran faith. The doctrine of call is a specific one. Yet, on the other hand, equally important is the whole area of vocation, which is also, at root, means a call. We believe, biblically speaking, if you read in 1 Peter, you know, that every Christian is part of the royal priesthood, a holy nation, to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So every Christian, in that sense, has a holy calling, but that calling may be to be a friend, to be a neighbor, to be a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, but certainly within the home, husband and wife, they are holy callings, and those are godly vocations. So I would agree there. The uniqueness of the pastoral call is that it's made clear in Ephesians, for example, that God gave gifts to men, and pastor, teacher is part of his design within the body of Christ. You see to it that his word is proclaimed, his sacraments administered, that people are brought up to the fullness of their stature, of the fullness of their faith in Christ. So that's a specific, kind of a narrower understanding of call. But I certainly agree that that's so very important, and praise God for those godly women who are real heroes of the faith, heroines, I guess, to be specific, who take up that unique challenge by their husband's side through ministry.
Yes, I would agree with you that there is something very unique and specific about a man's called into pastoral ministry, and I believe, and I'm sure you do as well, since I know that it's the teaching of the Missouri Synod, that only men are given the call to be pastors or shepherds over a congregation of both adult men and women and children.
Right.
But at the same time, I understand, or at least I think I understand the listener's question in regard to how is a woman suited to be a pastor's wife? And if she is already the wife of this man, should her being not suited to be a pastor's wife prevent him from entering into the...
Okay.
Because there are women who, number one, you may have a man who married a woman believing she was truly Christian and she turned out to be a false convert, or you could have a man whose wife is hermit-like, that wants little or nothing to do with the saints in the congregation. You could have all kinds of reasons why she is not... not an appropriate fit for a pastor's wife. So what would you recommend a young man considering entering into the ministry, and yet he's either engaged to or already married to a woman who just, she might even say to him, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. This is not what I want in my life.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll just tell a little anecdote to begin with. And you know, when Jane told one of her high school friends that she was going to marry a minister, that woman laughed out loud. Said, "You're going to be a pastor's wife? Wow!" And so there's a perspective, a perception out there that it's really burdensome. Well, I didn't pick up on all those nuances. So thank you.
Well, those were assumptions on my part.
Yeah, I would think that there's two things. One, a man who we believe there's such a thing as an inner call, that is a desire to serve the Lord and His church in that capacity. But then ultimately, it's only after he has thoroughly explored this that it's clear that he's qualified in terms of the knowledge of God's Word and of Christian doctrine, the practice of the church, so he's able to take up this office. And then and within our denomination, at least, there's a call of a congregation that was extended to him after he's certified for this office. So, he comes into the whole process already married. Then we would take very great care to sit down, not just with the gentleman who wants to be a pastor, but also with his wife, and talk with her about what's her understanding of the faith, obviously. How does she see her role as wife? And now as pastor's wife, we want to explore that so that it doesn't become something that's a surprise to her down the road. And then, on the other hand, if a man is single, certainly he's one that looks at those qualities within the women, within the... the group of women that he knows, that becomes something that he's always aware of as he looks to this. So it's, but I think that the duality of that vocation, and his first calling is to be your husband, and then his calling up very close to that is to be a shepherd within Christ's church. And they need not be in conflict, but one must always bear that in mind and keep that within the proper balance.
We have an anonymous listener who has a question for you. Oh, by the way, Susan Margaret, you have won a free copy of the book that we are addressing as well. If you did not send in a question and win one during part one of this, the discussion that began a couple of weeks ago, you have won a free copy of The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart, and we would urge you, after you finished reading it, or immediately give it to your pastor, because we do want especially pastors to be blessed by this. An anonymous listener asks, I know that a candidate for a pastor who the Bible would also describe as a bishop or an overseer or an elder has to rule his house well. And that would include having children under his roof who are living in obedience, whether they are truly regenerate or not. How do you view men in the ministry, especially those in pastoral ministry, who have adult children living outside of their homes that are a public scandal and living in open rebellion, perhaps getting abortions, perhaps living with unmarried people, and perhaps even living in the life of homosexuality, and the list could go on and on.
Right.
Are these men still qualified to pastor the household of God?
Well, having his children in all subjection is the statement clearly there, and that belongs to the calling of every Christian father. But specifically, as the questioner rightly pointed out, uniquely expected of the pastor. I'll say two things about this. One, we are charged by our Lord to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And bringing them up doesn't stop when they graduate from high school or college. That's a lifelong process, of course. But the direct responsibility, I think as it was implied in that question, does come to a point where the man who is a pastor no longer has direct influence over that person's life. He still remains father, and he still is concerned for their welfare and their godliness, their godly character, their faith, of course, first of all, and how they live their life. But he's not a inquisitor in that he is not charged with the responsibility to be a police officer, so to speak, enforcing the regulations, either secular or divine. So, what do I say about that? I think I would say we approach such a man who has a circumstance like that in his family with compassion. And I would deal with that on a case-by-case basis. I wouldn't say automatically that because a grown, an adult child has departed from the faith or has chosen a lifestyle clearly in conflict with God's word, that would disqualify the man from office. I don't think we can say that biblically. There are instance after instance of situations in the scriptures themselves where children departed from the faith that were brought up in, and yet God's grace and mercy continues, and that individual served an important role and within God's plan. So I wouldn't exclude a man on the basis of that, but I would certainly say that we need to come alongside a man like that and his wife to assist them and support them in their role, because the body of Christ as a whole has a vested interest in the welfare of the entire flock. And so any one sheep who has gone astray, as our Lord teaches in the parable, we go out and seek that individual. Rather than being horribly scandalized by this, I guess I would ask the question, what are the individuals within the flock doing about this? Have they, rather than being horrified of what's going on in their pastor's family's life, have they prayerfully and compassionately assisted? Have they actually themselves personally reached out to these individuals? I think that goes with the territory as well.
Great. And by the way, Anonymous, if you want to receive a free copy of this book that we are addressing by our guest today, Harold Sinkbeil, The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart, send us an email with your full name and mailing address. We obviously will not disclose that on the air, and you will receive by compliments of Lexham Press and also compliments of CVBBS a free copy of The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart. And we would urge you, after you are finished, unless you are a pastor yourself, If you would please pass this on to your pastor or some pastor that you know after you read it, we would be grateful, because we especially want pastors to have this book. I want you, before we go to our final break, to address anything you may be aware of right now that we have not addressed in part one of this discussion a couple of weeks ago or in today's discussion.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I guess since we're kind of revolving all these questions around the book which I've written, thank you for promoting it, and I thank Lexham Press for providing those free copies to the questioners, and that's very helpful. The real core of the idea within this book, as I kind of suggested at the beginning, is to help pastors to get their arms around the longer heritage of what it means to be a shepherd of souls. The language that was used in the earliest centuries of the church was that the pastor is really a physician of souls, that he explores the symptoms that are evident in terms of the spiritual fallout, if you will, of be it guilt or shame, that is, of sins that have been committed by the individual. And also, and here's a topic maybe for future discussion, the sins that have been committed against that Christian. When we are sinned against, that leaves us with a lot of spiritual baggage as well. So how does a pastor intelligently address this? And that's where we learn from the longer heritage of pastoral work, is that we explore it like a medical doctor, working from symptom to diagnosis to treatment. And that's kind of the thread that works its way throughout this book. And I encourage your listeners to explore that, get a hold of a copy if they would. It is accessible, by the way, to an interested layperson, and it's full of anecdotes from my own ministry. Not anecdotes, but it should be examples, anonymous, of course, in most cases. And then there's a personal story woven throughout of my own childhood, growing up on a farm, and what I learned about the disposition of a farmer, a habitus of being a farmer, and what that informed of my whole life growing up, and how that attitude was then carried over into ministry when I was called into ministry. So that we work out of an aptitude or an attitude, a disposition that is shaped and framed by God himself to be always on the lookout for Christ's sheep, to develop those eyes and ears of a true shepherd, like Jesus said, using an example of Jesus who looked at people as sheep without a shepherd. So his heart went out to them, and his whole thrust of everything that he did in his public preaching, but also his individual conversation with people, was highly perceptive, very focused on the actual needs, not just the presenting symptoms, and bringing them to the fullness of life was found through faith in him. So that's the thrust of the book, in which I'd like to explore perhaps in further conversations as well.
Great. And we're going to be going to our final break right now. If anybody has a question of your own, please send it in as quickly as possible, because we are rapidly running out of time. The email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. By the way, I just have a couple of announcements to make. Since Reverend Zimmerman, in the beginning of the program, brought up how, if at all, a pastor is supposed to adjust his teaching and practice to an ever-changing culture, you might be interested in the fact that we just got, during this interview, a confirmation from a pastor named Ryan Glesman of the Community Church of God in Clio, Michigan. He is going to be on our program, God willing, a week from today, Monday, September 23rd, And he is the brother of the man that claims to be the husband of Mayor Pete Buttigieg or Buttigieg of the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who is running for president, the first or at least the only current candidate for president of the United States that is an open and proud and defiant and uncompromising homosexual. And not only that, but claiming that his version of allegedly Christianity, that his way that he views and practices his so-called Christian faith is a superior version of Christianity than the historical and traditional and biblical model of the faith that we have, for us to be even criticizing or proclaiming that homosexuality is an unnatural and damnable activity in Mr. Buttigieg's, in his mind, that is in itself a sinful teaching and practice, to be opposing what he would call his lifestyle or whatever he would call it. So the brother of the man that is allegedly married to Pete Buttigieg, he is a pastor who is faithful to the scriptures on this issue, and he's going to be our guest a week from today, God willing. And also, this might be of great interest to my guest today and all of the Lutherans listening. In fact, everybody outside of Lutheranism who enjoys, as I do, the Lutheran satire videos. Well, Hans Feeney, the pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan or Shanahan, Illinois, he is our guest on Tuesday, the day after that, next week I'm talking about, Tuesday, September 24th, from 4 to 6 p.m., Pastor Hans Feeney, of the creator of the Lutheran satire, and that should be a very enjoyable and humorous time with Pastor Hans.
Well, by the way, Chris, if you would please give my personal greeting to Hans.
Great.
Who was sat in my classroom back in the day.
Oh,
little did I know that he was so gifted at that time.
Oh, he's hilarious. Well, I'm looking forward to that interview with bated breath, as being somebody who loves humor. But we're going to that break right now, and so send in those questions immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with our final segment with Reverend Hans Sankbeil and more of our discussion.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway End Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase a book from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping to further ensure a longer life for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the airwaves, because we depend upon the advertising dollars of Solid Ground Christian Books to exist. That's solid-ground-books.com. Well, I want you to, in about 2 minutes' time, to summarize what you most want to have etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, Harold, when it comes to the care of souls and cultivating a pastor's heart.
Well, I think the reality is that every pastor needs to have his eyes tuned in two directions. First of all, unto the Lord Jesus who has commissioned him, and secondly, to the sheep and the lambs over whom he's been given responsibility within their local environment. So we have to, you know, as any shepherd, we have a keen eye toward predators, toward dangers, toward afflictions among the sheep. So that duality of vision is so very, very important for the pastor today. And I might add, Chris, that, you know, we all need to keep our pastors in our prayers, that God's Spirit may direct them to faithfully and intelligently care for the flock of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. Not easily done.
Praise God, yes. That, I think, is an often overlooked thing in the life of Christians, the prayer for pastors, the encouragement to pastors, to let them know that you really are appreciating their ministry of the word and their ministry as under shepherds, and to build them up in truthful ways. Obviously, we don't want people flattering anybody with false praise, but look for every truthful reason to lift up your pastor and encourage him. I want to thank you so much for being our guest again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I look forward to you returning to discuss other matters on this program. I want to remind our listeners that the book that we have been addressing, The Care of Souls, Cultivating a Pastor's Heart, is published by Lexham Press. Their website is lexhampress.com. And you can also go to cvbbs.com to order the book, CV Cumberland Valley BBS Bible Book Service.com, cvbbs.com. Want to also remind you to continue praying for a pastor who is a very close friend of mine. We have already mentioned him in the beginning of the program. Pastor Joe Jackowitz, the founder and president of First Love Radio, who live streams this program every day. And you'll also hear him preaching every day immediately after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Pastor Joe Jackowitz of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. For those of you who tuned in late, as you may recall, we recently received a very scary prognosis that Pastor Jackowitz's leukemia was so aggressive and so fatal that his prognosis was that he had a 40 to 60% chance of survival. Well, we got the much better news that he is in pre-remission. He has already been sent home from the hospital 2 weeks early, and we are praising God for this wonderful, just glorious news. And we ask you to keep praying for him, because as many of you may know from personal experience, there have been many folks who have gone into remission with cancer, but then it returns. Please pray that Pastor Joe is completely purged of this disease, and he has many more years to declare the goodness of God and the praise, honor, and glory of Jesus Christ on this earth before he is called home. So we look forward to hearing even more praise reports from Joe Jackowitz and updates on his health progress. Don't forget also about the Doxology website, doxology.us, doxology.us, that is the website of our guest, Harold L. Senkbeil. He is the Executive Director of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. I want to thank all of you who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.